Thank you very much, Dr. Morgan here. You're listening to Health Essentials on KBJS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, Longview. It's really good to be with you this morning. I know that probably several people have questions. I had a lady that called my office, and she asked a question. She wanted me to cover this topic. I didn't get a chance to cover it last week. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll write down notes of what I want to cover, and I realize when the show's over, I didn't cover anything that I wrote down. Sometimes it just happens that way. I think you just have to kind of be flexible, right? If I tell you that callers and people are more important, then that's just the way it is. It's got to be that way. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Probably I'll only get calls from men today because all the women are out in the deer stands hunting so they can put food on the table. I'm sure I'm correct. Anyway, this lady calls my office and she says, "Dr. Morgan, I need you to cover a topic for me and please help me with it." And I said to myself, okay. And the only thing that she said is she just feels anxious and jittery on the inside. Of course, sometimes I'll say to myself, okay, what do you mean? But I didn't get a chance to ask that question. So let's just kind of go with the idea that somebody, as opposed to feeling calm and relaxed and joyous and happy and at peace, they feel this angst on the inside, or they feel anxiety. Well, let's cover that just briefly. So much of the human body, whether you're young or you're old or somewhere in between, like me, or probably like you, is hormones control everything. I read the story about the man that fasted just on water and minerals for 384 days. Or maybe it was 382 days. But at this point, what difference does 2 days make? 384 days. And the only thing that he consumed was water and minerals. That might be a point to consider that you've never heard of before. Now, I know the gentleman was just extremely overweight. I think maybe a better way to say it from a medical perspective is he was morbidly obese. And I know sometimes we like to jump on people that are overweight and we like to say that their character is flawed and they have no self-control and they're morally defective, but that's just not the case. That is just not the case. Quite often, they're not eating an inordinate amount of food above and beyond what skinny people eat. But they have issues going on where it's just downright hard to lose weight. And quite often, when somebody does everything they can to try to lose weight, but they still can't quite get it, one of the things that you'll find is that their adrenal cortex, which is a gland. There's a gland called the adrenal gland. It's kind of like the thyroid gland. Your thyroid's right there in the front of your throat. Kind of a butterfly-shaped gland. And, of course, the thyroid is the largest gland that produces hormones. But you have these very incredible glands that sit on top of your kidneys called the adrenal glands. Now, one of the hormones they produce is called cortisol. And I sure don't want to come across this morning blaming cortisol for everything. No, I don't want to do that. But if you can't lose weight, you can just about bet your bottom dollar there's too much cortisol coursing through your bloodstream. Cortisol, your body can learn to overproduce the stuff. Boy, can it ever. And it can do such a good job of it because of our thoughts, is we can just continually train the body to be convinced we're in a crisis or we're in a danger or fight or flight, but that's called the sympathetic nervous system. You're constantly ready for battle, or you're ready for danger, or you're dealing with a crisis. And I wonder, you know, is it because a pack of wild hyenas is running toward us? No. Maybe if you work at the zoo, that's the case. But no, that doesn't happen to the average person. But we get this feedback loop going where we have so much cortisol coursing through our veins. Somebody's trying to call. Let's go ahead and get this real quick. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Come on. Sorry, I had puppies outside.
You have puppies outside?
Yeah, I just let them out, and I was letting them back in so they won't disturb our call because
they'll
get all worked up.
How old are they?
Oh, they're not puppies. I call all dogs and cats puppies. They're big.
It could be a 150-pound, Rottweiler, right?
Well, actually, the biggest, she's not quite that, but she's an Irish wolfhound mixed with the Akbar, so she's pretty good size.
Are you kidding me? How tall is she?
She comes up to my waist.
Now, does that mean if she stretched out and put her paws on your shoulder, she'd be taller than you?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's easy. I'm only 5 foot, but yes.
I wasn't trying to bring up your deficiencies, ma'am. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, it's not deficiency. God made me wonderfully the way I am.
Oh, good, good. All right.
I always like to say God made the short people for the lower shelves and the tall people for the top shelves.
I haven't heard that before. That's funny.
I have two people that I'm trying to find out if we can. There's a beautiful, wonderful hospice lady that she's having trouble lactating, but they have her on high blood pressure medicine.
Does that mean is she pregnant or does she have babies right now?
She already has the baby. It's about 3 months old. Trying to find out some things that might can help her. I told her about the hibiscus tea for the high blood pressure. And then my brother, I just found that, I just found that yesterday. He has a big knot on his neck. That's the one I'm mainly calling for to find out and see what we could do. And they're wanting to do a CAT scan and all this money and stuff. And believe it or not, they said if he has insurance, he only has to pay $700 in cash. If he doesn't have insurance, he has to pay $400.
What is it? Okay.
Excuse me?
I know, but are you talking about for the CAT scan?
Yeah,
that's ridiculous because, and I'm sorry, I'm going to go off on a tangent for a second, but if they...
You go right ahead.
If they order a CAT scan and there's insurance, they're saying, okay, your copay is $700, but you can go down to Tyler, open MR right now, and he can get a CAT scan for less than $400 cash. No insurance is required. And so you just begin to wonder, okay, well, what's the true cost if you have insurance then? Well, you know what's going to happen. It's going to be $3,000 or $3,500. Anyway, I'll get off that topic. let me focus my energy on helping him.
Now that you mention that, where would he go in Tyler if he still wants to do that?
If he just goes to Tyler, open MRI.
Okay, I will tell him that.
And if you look that up, and you don't even have to say Dr. Morgan sent you. Just walk in there and say, I came here, Dr. Morgan didn't even recommend it, and I'm still going to come here. But if you go there, they can, they could do x-rays for you, CAT scans, MRI. But I think it's a much better service to say, all right, can I pay $327 out the door and still get this done, or do I have to pay $3,270 by going the other way? Anyway, it's just nuts. I don't understand all of that.
Yeah.
Well, no, we do understand it. We know what drives that, but that doesn't do anything to change your brother.
No, it doesn't.
Let's talk about the woman first.
Go ahead.
No, what were you going to say about your brother? I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No, I was just going to make sure to tell you that he has a knot on his neck. It does move around. So,
well, that is good. Now, where on his neck is it located? Is it the front, the side, the back?
That I didn't get. I'm sorry. I think it's on the side. The way she was showing me, it was like on the side. His girlfriend just mentioned it, and I said, now, I was telling her about you, and I thought this morning, well, I'd find out, but I haven't gotten the details. I just know it's good enough size for him to want to check it out.
Is there any chance it could just be like a swollen lymph node?
That's what they're thinking, but apparently if they're trying to get a intestine
or swallow
must
tonsil
be pretty good size. It's pretty good size.
Well, and you know, I want to be a positive here. I don't want to always be negative, but maybe it's a very large swollen lymph node. I mean, if you look up pictures of mumps and measles, you'll see some swollen knots on some kids' necks and some adults, too.
That's so, what we're thinking, too.
I'm hoping that's the case. I don't want it to be like a lymphoma or, you know, a Hodgkin, something like that. Those are blood cancers. But at least let me go back to the lady just for a second, because that was the first thought I had when you mentioned that. There is a mineral that the human body needs. It's called zinc. And zinc has a little bit to do with how you produce a hormone called prolactin. And prolactin, we could probably break the word down and just say it promotes lactation. And that's one of the things that she's having an issue with. But it's very common to have issues with the heart and then the blood and circulation when there's a zinc deficiency. That's not that's not me trying to say that if you have high blood pressure, all you do is take zinc and that solves it. But one thing that zinc does, zinc will help clear certain types of debris and waste that builds up in the arteries. It's pretty famous for causing them to stiffen. And so in a roundabout way, if somebody had a condition called angina pectoris or severe chest pain upon exertion, and I don't know if you've ever seen people like this. I've seen my fair share. They're usually wonderful people, but they take just a few steps across the floor and they go, "Dr. Morgan, I'm going to have to rest for just a second because I'm out of wind." And you just wonder, you're thinking to yourself, "Oh, I feel so bad for you." But in some of these studies, they show a very unique phenomenon happens when they take a higher amount of zinc just for a short season, not for long term, because long term high consumption of zinc, it tends to depress or suppress the immune system, and that's not what you want. But if a person took 100 milligrams of zinc every day for, say, 3 weeks, it's very interesting what happens in the studies, that oxidized cholesterol that causes your arteries to stiffen and to harden, it tends to be pushed out of the arteries, and so you start reestablishing the suppleness. And, of course, with your brother, zinc might end up being the cornerstone of the immune system, because your ability to fight infections. I mean, I just read the report before I came on the air. They show what is the number one predictable factor, who's going to have infection that turns septic or not. And it's going to be the zinc levels in the human body. I thought to myself, well, isn't that interesting? Zinc may actually be the cornerstone of the immune system. Now, I realize as I tell you this stuff, I don't want to make a panacea out of anything, but you can't overlook this information.
No,
and so when you're low in zinc, you can't make adequate amounts of breast milk.
Okay.
Now, the second thing, this may offend a lot of people, but the last time I checked, you get zinc when you eat seafood. So if you like to eat flounder or salmon, but some people are convinced that fish are bad. I just don't, personally, I don't see it. Didn't our Lord himself prepare fish over the hot coals with loaves of barley? I'm not sure what a loaf of barley looks like, but let's just call it a barley cake cooked on hot coals. Maybe on a rock for all I know. Sounds like an angel cooking breakfast for Elijah when he was running for his life from Jezebel. But you get zinc when you eat red meat. And you know, one of the things that I think of people or men like Jimmy. That dude works so hard to make sure that his cows get the very best of the best nutrition from the soil and from the grass. And then on the other hand, we have these large industrial farms where they're trying to pack cows full of antibiotics and steroids and hormones, and they load them up with corn and grains. And I'm thinking, well, okay, well, I prefer the grass-fed beef. I think... I think the Lord loves cows. He owns all the cows on Thousand Hills. But in both of these situations, we get zinc when we eat meat. And that does offend some people. It does not offend me, and it probably doesn't offend you.
No, and it wouldn't offend them. Trust me, we're big on all that.
Well, and the reason I read that is because I saw this article the other day where they were definitely shaming and slamming people that would eat a steak, and I thought, why? I don't get that. Because one of the things that you'll notice is when a human being has less than adequate zinc, is they tend to just, they tend to be, when zinc is really low, guess what men tend to do? They tend to become very angry. That's one of the most common, that's one of the most common things in a man when he's low in zinc, is he just tends to become angrier. And that's just not good. Whereas you've got to have zinc in order to manufacture a hormone called testosterone. And the last time I checked, when men have testosterone, they don't tend to become more angry, if you ask me. They tend to be more purposeful and more focused, and they can get more stuff accomplished and done. And when you're also, when you're low in zinc, besides having low testosterone, you tend to crave more sugar, more carbohydrates. And see, I can't even make this up. When you're low in zinc, you just can't turn that, you can't flip that switch off to tell you to stop eating, you know, 3 bags of Cheetos and 25 donuts, or just whatever it might be. It's just carbohydrates.
Yes, yeah.
And so,
actually, with your zinc, I had started, just a side note for anybody that's listening, I had started it up. I couldn't take it in the morning. It made me nauseous, no matter how I did it.
Oh, there's no way around it. You've got to have food first.
I mean, I tried it different ways. In the middle of eating and everything, I couldn't take it in the evening for some reason. It did the same thing. I could take it at noon, and I could take a half of one. The minute I took it, I had to eat something. But then I built up to where I could take a whole one.
Oh, and you're right. No, you make a great point. That's an easy observation. Is when person after person says, "I can't take this on an empty stomach," and I'm going, "Okay, I got you," but you've got to have hydrochloric acid. The study that came out this week, they showed that all these antacids like Nexium, Omeprazole, Zantac, Tagamet, Acefex, there's probably 5 other ones that you could get over the counter at the store. But they all do one thing. They cause horrible mineral deficiency, and they lead to iron deficiency and anemia. And the last time I checked, you've got to have iron to be able to transport oxygen all over the body. Well, I'm going back to our previous topic or conversation. Where do you get heme iron? That's the body's favorite source of iron in order to make hemoglobin. Yeah. So you can you get it from animal. Now, see, on one hand, you've got a chicken. I'm not against chickens. I think they taste good. But chickens, when you eat only the white meat, that is a very poor source of what's called heme iron and very, very low in nutrients. If I told you what I'm convinced is the most nutrient-dense food on earth, it would have to be calf liver. Now, I can't convince many people to go to you know, Luby's or Traditions and eat calf liver or liver and onions.
Oh, but I love liver with a passion. Oh, yeah.
How often do you have it?
Not as often as I should. And I even have some in my freezer, and I think I'm going to break it out and have some today.
Well, you are one motivated woman. Good. Are you going to share it with one of the dogs, with your Irish wolfhound?
Oh, no. They only get it. I mean, I take good care of my dogs, but no, Mama gets the good stuff.
If there was a rabbit running across the pasture, would that Irish wolfhound stand a chance at catching up to it?
Well, as long as her legs is, she tries, but yeah, that rabbit, I'll do it.
And so the young lady is trying to lactate. Did you say she does have high blood pressure?
Yes, they have her own high blood pressure medicine.
I think if we could make a switch here and say, all right, what are we doing here? If she's having a hard time lactating, then almost always there's too much inflammation in the body. Okay. And so there's only a couple of ways to take care of this. Number one is just trying to reduce the amount of carbohydrates. And the easiest way to do that is by cutting back on refined sugar and grain. I know.
Well, she does eat pretty good, but I'm sure there is some sugars and stuff. But
well,
I'll let her know.
At least we can kind of take a step back. But you're looking at the herbs, the two herbs that I would probably consider if she's having a hard time lactating would be, number one, milk thistle. There's a reason why they call it milk thistle, because it helps with milk production and cleans up the milk. And then number two, fenugreek.
What is it?
It's called fenugreek. That's spelled F-E-N-U,
okay,
and then Greek.
Fenugreek. Gotcha. Okay.
And so between that and zinc, all we can do is give it a shot. The other thing that I would consider is, you've never heard me talk about castor oil. This will be the first day I've ever broached the topic. But she might even try applying castor oil topically to the breast tissue because it increases blood flow and circulation wherever you put it. And the last time I checked, anytime you increase blood flow to an organ or to a gland or a tissue, that is a good thing. I'm a firm believer that if there's too much cortisol circulating through a woman's body, then it's going to create all the health problems that we don't want to have. Blood pressure goes up. You tend to have poor quality sleep. Of course, if you have a baby that's not getting adequate milk, for all I know, they may be waking up frequently throughout the night, and mama just doesn't get to sleep at all.
Yeah. Well, she is having to do some formula, but she is pumping, and the formula is only 2 bottles to help supplement. The rest of it's pumped milk. But, yes. Okay.
You can buy what's called mammary extract. They take it from a cow. And so that's what my strategy is always for a woman that's going to adopt a baby, but she wants to breastfeed or nurse the child. If she gets one of those, I'm trying to remember the name of it. Is it called Medela? Medela breast pumps?
Okay.
Do you remember the store in Tyler, Toys R Us?
Yeah, I know Toys. Oh, yes, I do.
Well, I don't even know if they're out of business yet. Maybe they are. I don't.
Probably.
Okay,
I think all of them did.
But they would sell those breast pumps, and that's what you do for a woman, or you just tell her, listen, if you want to breastfeed this child you're fixing to adopt, it's like a day or two old, start pumping your breasts 3 months before. I mean, not 3 months, 3 weeks before the child's going to be born, and start taking fenugreek and mammary extract and milk thistle, and let's just train your body to start making milk.
Really?
You know, yeah, and it really is. It's all in the mind, though. It's really in the mind and the heart. If you have an attitude that you want to breastfeed and you want to nurse, and see, I know this is true because this is going to be a bizarre story. Can I tell you a bizarre story?
Yes, you can.
there was a man who was a Bedouin. He lived in the wilderness between Israel and the Sinai Peninsula. His wife dies giving birth to twin girls, and he has no way out. He doesn't have a truck. He might have a camel, I don't know. But he lives out there with his family. The wife gives birth. She dies giving birth, and now he's got these two little baby daughters. Well, their cries, because he felt heartfelt compassion for them, he starts producing milk himself. I ain't making this up. You probably think I am. But he starts producing milk, and he was able to nurse them well enough until that he could get them somewhere in 2 weeks to where they could start giving the babies formula. I know that sounds bizarre, but God has hardwired us to be empathetic toward little baby girls and boys. And so you could take a woman who did not have the child, and you can cause her to start generating generous amounts of breast milk by using techniques like, these are all hardwired neurological hormone mechanisms within the body. So if a woman who can't nurse starts using that breast pump, and she starts doing things like getting her zinc levels up to like a more normal level, and maybe taking milk thistle and mammary extract and also fenugreek, then she can just psychologically say, you know what, I'm going to start producing milk. I'm not making it today, but I'll make it before long. And sure enough, they'll start making it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call today.
Oh, I need to know about my brother's neck.
Well, he's not here in front of me for me to examine him. What am I supposed to do?
Would castor oil help with that too?
Well, he can always try applying it topically. What would help is if I knew, is this an impacted hair follicle? Because I've seen hair follicles before sometimes. They can become so swollen. But what I would look for, if it was me, I would check the lymph nodes. And if it's a lymph node, then I would go straight to the spleen. The spleen is the largest filter of the immune system. And so if he has a lymph node that's swollen, is it from an old infection? Is it from... because that's what lymph nodes do for a living. They try to capture and contain. I heard that wren in the background. But they try to act like very precise, like just on your pickup. You've got an oil filter and an air filter. And if they can trap the dirt and debris, that means it doesn't harm the rest of the engine, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So the lymph nodes are the filters, or maybe it's a tonsil. Is it just under the jaw?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's on the neck, just lower on
the neck.
Well,
you know what we could do, just as a, as an idea? This is not taking the place of medicine or getting a CAT scan or getting a lab test.
No, he
could take SEAC T. SEAC is Cassie backwards.
Yes, so I've heard you talk about it, and I pulled it up before I was going to get. Yes, okay. I know what that is.
So that's one way that he can start to purify his body. But any time that there's a swollen knot in the neck, you want to come off sugar as quick as you can. No refined sugar whatsoever.
Okay.
And so one of the ways to do this is through what's called intermittent fasting. And so he's just going to get the idea that he doesn't need, he needs to fast for about 16 to 18 hours a day and then eat in a 6 to 8 hour window.
Okay.
And that's doable. People do it all the time and they restore their health.
Yeah, it would be he used to do that, but yes. Okay.
How old is he, by the way?
Let's see. I'm 63. He's roughly 50. I don't think he's turned 60 yet. I think he's 58, 59.
Oh, he's your baby brother.
Yes, he is.
Well, now I know why you're calling to take care of him. What a good mother you are to him. Well, let me know what happens, okay?
I will. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And bless you and yours.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, ma'am. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was very sweet of you. Thank you. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. Let's go to another phone call, then we'll try to get back to the cortisol issue. Good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you?
Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, you're welcome. Yes, sir.
I enjoy your program. I'm 78 years old. And I have for 4 years now, I have had a rash on my legs called pigmented purpura dermatosis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's gotten really bad. And
but you're talking about your lower legs, not the upper thighs, right?
Well, it has even spread the last year. It has spread up to my waist and down to my soles of my feet. And I went to one doctor. Well, of course, they have given me, I've been to 5 different dermatologists, and of course, they gave me fluocinide ointment and triamcinolone cream to put on my legs, and it didn't seem to help very much.
So diuretics and steroids?
They gave me steroid shots, and they helped for about a month or two, but it always comes back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What can I? Well, okay. I have right now. They gave me a shot just last week, so it's not as bad today as it was a month ago. But it always comes back because I've had it for 4 years. Then I have a second problem of athlete's foot I've had for many years. Not real bad, just like most men have a certain amount of toenail hardening and yellow on my toenails.
Well, that's all the same thing. I think they're related, but let me kind of connect the dots here. There is a term that's used when you examine vegetables and fruit and herbs, and sometimes they'll say this particular fruit, like a blueberry, contains a certain amount of a substance called a polyphenol. Have you ever heard that term before?
Yes.
Well, polyphenols, they end up being probably naturally produced herbicides or insecticides to keep bugs from eating them. So, but in human beings, they kind of act like medicine. So here's one example. In the skins of red grapes or red wine or purple grapes, you have a compound called resveratrol. Have you ever heard that before?
Yes.
Okay. I think it's really, really hard for any doctor to look at the research on resveratrol and say, oh, that's just a bunch of malarkey, that doesn't mean anything. We need to give everybody more steroids and more diuretics and more cholesterol-lowering drugs, which I'm thinking to myself, okay, here's one thing that resveratrol does, and I don't know how relevant this is to you, but when I see a rash that's spreading for 4 years and doesn't go away, I think about there are cells in your leg, and they're not. I got to be careful how I word this. There is a, let's just say, a skin cell. That's what I'm going to use. We'll use the idea of a skin cell. Either they're fully alive or they're fully dead. And there's only one way that there's an in-between. See, when cells are fully alive, they work and they do exactly what God designed them to do. But when the cells completely die, then your immune system says, here's a dead skin cell. We need to engulf it, eat it, break it down, destroy it, get rid of it. So that way your stem cells can produce a brand new skin cell in the place of the dead cell. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But one of the problems is we will develop what are called senescent cells. And they're not totally alive, but they're not totally dead. They're almost like they're in a deep sleep, but here's the problem. These senescent cells, they don't get removed. Now, I'm not telling you that I fully understand all this. I may have to read about this for a few more years before I get a better concept. But these senescent cells, what happens is when somebody has a bad case of the flu, and they're in bed for 3 or 4 days, and all they're doing good just to drink water and maybe sip on chicken broth or chicken soup, something like that, but they don't eat as normal. Well, what happens when they do that is they start to fast. And when they fast, there's a process called autophagy. That's the way I pronounce it. Everybody else pronounces it different, but I think it's self-eating. But when you're sick and you don't eat or you're fasting, that's the mechanism by which or through which your body removes these senescent cells. The problem, and here's my punchline, these senescent cells that are kind of like half alive, I don't want to call them zombies because I don't believe in that, but you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
They start producing all these inflammatory cytokines. And so what happens is when there's one little patch where the rash started, and you probably remember 4 years ago, there was probably one distinct area where this little patch of rash started, and it's just kind of spread from there, hadn't it?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's what you see when there's senescent cells. And so I'm not saying you have old cells that won't die, but it's sort of like they're in a state of a deep sleep or suspended animation, so they're just kind of hanging around, but they don't go away. But what they do is they generate inflammation. And then it's like pushing a domino over. You get one cell that's kind of half alive, and it produces inflammation, these cytokines and bradykinins and leukotrienes, and you have another one. And then another one. Well, the reason why I was going backwards and talking about resveratrol that comes from red wine, that's what the animal models are showing now, that when they give rats and mice, I know you're not a rat, but, you know, I don't know many human beings are going to say, just experiment on my body any way that you want. It's fine by me. Those days are kind of over, I think. I think we have morals and ethics that prevent us from, you know, taking people and use them like guinea pigs.
Right.
But when you take resveratrol, and you do get some in blueberries, just not near as much as what you get from, the skins of grapes and red wine. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But what it does is it makes those cells die. But you get the same effect when you fast. See, they can give you all the steroids in the world that they want to give you, but all they can do is they can just momentarily suppress your immune system, but it doesn't do anything to get your body well at all. It's just a momentary reprieve.
Yeah.
And there's side effects to steroids. We don't have to go into those. But what if you tried a different strategy?
Well, there's one other thing that I wanted to mention. The last doctor I went to said that he thought that the athlete's foot dermatosis was related, and he thought it might be lichen planus. But it doesn't itch. So he prescribed,
fine if he says that, but that's not the issue. The issue is you don't have enough oxygen.
He gave me a prescription of 250 milligram tablets of terbinafine to take for 84 days.
I wonder where he came up 84. Is that like 84 days to get around the world? Is it a race or something?
Well, they say it takes for the anti-fungus through your blood system to go to your toenails.
Well, what I want to say it differently, because, and I'm not saying just because I've done this for 29 years that I have all the answers. I don't. But at the core of this, you're not getting enough oxygen to your toes. And that's the reason why I mentioned resveratrol, because in plants, what keeps fungus from growing on, what keeps the toxic fungus from growing on grapes and blueberries? It's resveratrol.
Oh.
And that's the reason I told you that. I didn't elaborate it.
Okay.
As quickly as I should have. I kind of danced in circles. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you were thinking, okay, what am I going to do to start solving this issue? Well, one thing is you've got to increase the amount of oxygen that you get to your toenails. That's the only way to make toenail fungus and thickening go away. So what's your plan for increasing blood flow to your feet?
Well, I do exercise. I walk on the treadmill as often as I can, and I do a lot of walking.
Well, and that's one way of doing it. The other thing that I want to suggest to you is you can radically increase the oxygen to the toes through fasting. And so let me just kind of create a scenario here. What is your normal time to wake up in the morning?
6:30.
Okay. Well, I have a sales pitch for you. And I'm going to run this past you, and you tell me if it sounds doable or not. If it doesn't sound doable, let me know, and we'll go on to plan B. What if you decided that you were going to not eat breakfast when you woke up in the morning? You were going to push that back towards, say, 10 a.m. or 11, just to make up a number, okay?
Okay.
So you can drink all the water that you want. If you like coffee, I would say do not drink coffee.
No, I don't drink coffee.
Okay, this is going to be easy for you then. So if you set your mind that you're going to eat a really good, nutritious breakfast at 10 a.m. or 11, or if you want to call it brunch, or eat your lunch then, that's fine also. And then you eat your next meal at, say, 4 or 5 o'clock. Well, let's do the math on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat your last meal at 5 o'clock in the evening, from 5 in the evening till 5 o'clock in the morning, that's exactly 12 hours of fasting. You haven't had any food. Water and minerals, or water and salt, you can take that.
Mm-hmm.
But from 5 o'clock in the morning, that's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's 5 hours. So 5 plus 12 is 17. There's 17 hours of fasting right there. And so the studies show that you start going through this process called autophagy, where you start removing those senescent cells that are generating all the inflammation in your legs.
Yeah.
You either do it this way, or you just rely on drugs to get rid of the inflammation, but it ain't going to fix anything long term.
Yeah, and you know, I have had doctors recommend this terbinafine many times over the years, and I've refused to take it because I thought the side effects could damage my liver. But
well,
now
yeah.
I've been taking it for 4 days now, and I'm just wondering if I should continue taking it or should
well,
I stop?
Well, I cannot decide, and I can't answer that question for you because that's a drug your doctor prescribed, and that's just not my job to interfere with that. But what my job is to show you a more excellent way.
Okay.
And so what I would suggest is, why don't you look into the idea of eating more of a paleo-type diet, you know, vegetables and meat with a little bit of fruit.
Yeah.
And why don't we start nourishing the body? Because I don't want to underestimate what can happen to your system if you actually give it nutrients. And one day this week, and I've already forgotten whether it was Monday or Tuesday, but on my lunch break, you didn't know this, but I'm a little bit of an information junkie and a nerd when it comes to these things. Don't tell anybody, because they have an image of me that's not correct. They think that I'm super cool, but I'm really just a nerd that likes to read on my lunch break. But anyway, they were talking about, in this study, they were demonstrating that people that have very severe degenerative joint disease, and so you probably even know somebody that along their spine they have a disc that's worn out, or they have severe arthritis in their spine, and they're stiff, and they hurt all the time, and they're achy, or they have joints, and They said, what would happen if we gave glucosamine sulfate and chondroitin sulfate and MSM and other sulfur compounds that would actually help nourish the disc? Well, they found out it did a wonderful job at helping rejuvenate the disc, but there was one catch. The ones that were more sedentary and they didn't get enough activity, they could not get the nutrients to the disc or to the joint or the cartilage or the ligaments or the tendons, because what they did was they looked at tissue specimens.
Yeah.
And the people that got a certain amount of exercise every day, it was golden to them, because they could actually, that's the nutrient delivery. So your blood contains an ocean of nutrients and oxygen. And so all I want to suggest to you is, whatever you're doing, you may not be getting enough oxygen nutrition to your toenails to turn that around.
I am a vegetarian.
Well, that's going to be a little bit of a problem, because how are we going to get enough? Without meat, how are you going to get enough zinc or B12 to promote adequate circulation to your toes?
I don't know. Where
and
do
see,
I get...
Can I back up and just apologize to you? I'm sorry. I did not mean to come across as judgmental. I'm kind of checking myself right now.
Don't
take it as me judging you. I love you very much. I would do anything to help you. But what I just quickly see, that's the bad side. You just saw the dark side of Roy, didn't you?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, you're so kind. I love you. God bless you. But we've got to find a way, because if we did like a blood test on you and said, all right, let's measure your albumin levels. Albumin is one of the greatest transportation proteins or molecules that's made by your liver. And I say that if you want to rejuvenate your legs and you want this purpurea to go away in this rash and you want your toenail fungus, we've got to get your albumin upwards to closer to 5, because when it's below 4, there's not a chance. You can't deliver enough nutrition. So if you were to go to your doctor and say, could you please just do a lab on me, and it's just called a CMP, or a complete metabolic panel, and if they did a test called a CBC with a differential, it's called mean corpuscular volume, or it's abbreviated MCV. When that's above 92, I just interpret that you've got a significant B12 deficiency, and you can't make enough quality blood cells to transport oxygen. So I would look at your iron levels. I'd look at the zinc. I'd look at your B vitamins. And so what do you think about eggs and fish? How do you feel about those?
I eat eggs occasionally, but not very often. I don't eat fish.
How am I going to do this then? I don't know of any vegetable sources to make this work.
Well, I take extra B vitamins, and I take a B complex every day.
Okay. If you took a B complex that was made of calf liver, would you do that?
Yeah, sure.
Bingo, we're in business then. Okay. What I want you to do is make sure your B vitamins are made from calf liver. Or if you want to go get Carter's Little Liver Pills,
No.
I don't think they're in business anymore.
Uh-uh.
Well, but if your B vitamins, if it says they're made, or I'm sorry, their source is calf liver, I think we're in business.
Okay.
And I think you're going to have to consider probably taking a little bit of iron and zinc also.
Okay.
But you can get those from natural sources.
Okay.
And so the other thing that I think of, I always think of this as a vitamin C deficiency.
Oh.
And let me just say it this way. And I'm being overly simplistic, and I want you to know I'm not being judgmental. I'm just trying to be black and white. You know how men are. Men are just one way or the other, aren't they? They don't think tactically and multitask like women do.
Right.
You didn't know that women were superior to men in their ability to multitask, right?
They are.
Totally. The more carbohydrates that a person consumes, you greatly increase the need for vitamin C.
Oh.
And so when somebody is more on a carnivore-style diet, they don't even need vitamin C at all. I know it sounds bizarre. I'm not saying I understand that mechanism, but if you were an Eskimo and you're eating fish and whale and seal and whatever else they eat up there, they actually have no need for vitamin C, but there's no scurvy whatsoever.
Mm.
The more carbohydrates that a person consumes, whether it's from a grain or from a vegetable or from a fruit, the more that increases the demand for vitamin C. And see, your vitamin C levels, my guess would be that we're not getting exactly to the level that you need. So if you tried an experiment where you took some whole food vitamin C that's made from Acerola cherries or Camu Camu or oranges or limes or lemons with bioflavonoids, if we did that with this intermittent fasting idea I'm talking about, I bet you we'd start to see a change that you'd be very pleased. But those senescent cells, if we don't make those go away, you can't make the rash of 4 years go away.
Well, I'm going to do that. I'll take your advice, and I will.
Oh, so you'll do anything I say, will you?
I will.
I am rubbing my hands together in delight right now.
I believe in you.
Well, I believe in you. And you are a child of God, and God loves you, and He cares about you, and He cares about this affliction that you've got. And I realize there's nobody that knows what you've gone through or how much you've suffered, but I want you to be able to heal. But wouldn't this be amazing if this completely resolved and went away by natural methods without drugs?
It would be a miracle. God heals people.
Yes, He does.
Through natural means.
And so if you will, the ball is in your court. Just consider the idea of intermittent fasting and then consider taking a little bit more resveratrol. Now, I do want to be fair with you. I do think that blueberries and cherries, they contain rich amounts of these polyphenols and these flavonoid compounds that are good for you. So you did not have me say that blueberries are bad. I think they're quite good.
I love blueberries.
What do you think about moving to Canada and starting your own blueberry farm right now?
Too cold up there.
Oh, you're very hard to get along with. Too cold? Can't you just wear a parka? Made of caribou?
Nope.
Okay, gotcha. Well, let me know how these things work out. And okay. What I would do also, I would put castor oil all over my legs and cover them with wool socks. Okay. And wear those when you're on the treadmill.
Okay, I have some castor oil.
Good. Let's put it it won't go to waste.
I'll try that.
Good. Well, thank you for your phone call. I found it very, very interesting, and I haven't a clue if I'm right about this. I just think that I am.
Okay, Dr. Morgan, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for your phone call. Appreciate you listening to the station. Bye-bye. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open at 903-586-5257. And actually, it's not just her. It's all of us. All of us have these senescent cells that we need to kind of kill off occasionally. Good morning. Welcome to the program. Thank you for your phone call.
Yes, Dr. Morgan. I was wondering, is there anything that you can take for eye floaters?
All right. Yes, there is. Can you hear me hesitating slightly?
Yes.
All right. How much sugar and how much stress is the person under that has eye floaters?
Not very much stress and
good.
Probably more sugar than they need.
All right. We'll get off that topic real quick. I'm sure that's irrelevant. If it were me, these are the things that I would have you consider. There is a substance that sometimes you can purchase at the store. They're called broccoli sprouts. You ever heard of broccoli sprouts?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like the taste of them?
I can eat them.
That's about the way I feel about it, too. It's almost like you're biting into hot pepper, and it's like, is this really good for me? Because it doesn't seem that pleasurable. And if a deer ate these, they'd probably keel over dead. But
yes.
Broccoli sprouts, they contain a compound called sulforaphane. And to me, I'm so intrigued by that compound that scientists have discovered in broccoli sprouts. And it's called sulforaphane because it's got some sulfur in it. And sulfur is one of the greatest ways to rejuvenate the eyes. And so my plan B is trying to convince people to eat sulfur-rich foods when they have eye floaters.
Okay.
You've got broccoli, you have cabbage, cauliflower, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, kale. Those are definitely worth a trial. But I think one thing that depletes the body of sulfur is going to be the consumption of sugar and starches. And I'll just kind of leave it at that. But going back to the floaters and how you take care of them, you could probably build a case to encourage a person to consume a little bit more zinc than what they're currently taking. Because I think floaters tend to form more easily, or debris builds up when you lack sufficient amounts of zinc. And so zinc has an ability to feed and nourish a gland in the body called the thymus gland. And the thymus gland, oh, it's incredible. That is the largest gland of the immune system. But part of the job of the immune system is not just based on killing funguses or viruses or bacteria or cancer cells. One of the jobs of the immune system is just eating and reabsorbing deranged proteins and tissues and removing dead cells. I kind of talked about that just a little bit while ago.
Yes,
does that make sense?
That.
Okay,
yes,
but
it's
just the idea that if you have a if you have some proteins that are kind of damaged and deranged, well, your body's supposed to be like the the salvage yard where you take an old junk car in and it just tries to recycle the iron so, you know, it can, you know, crush it and grind it and send it back to the refinery so you can build something else like a skyscraper. You know what I mean, don't you?
Yes.
And so you're one of the roles of the immune system is doing that. And so without zinc, I think it's harder for the immune system to be able to scavenge and break down old, deranged, useless proteins and tissues, which goes back to what I said earlier. If you're not eating sugar all day long, then you take a huge strain and burden off your immune system because there's nothing like sugar that suppresses the immune system's ability to scavenge old proteins. And that's what floaters are. They're floating proteins.
Oh, okay.
Gunky, gelatinous proteins.
Okay.
You're probably thinking like silicone and super glue and, just...
All in my eye.
Oh, yes. They're like an asteroid or a meteor that's all glued and gunked together. But so zinc is something that I would look at. I think sulfur compounds are one of the ways that you clean the body. I know it's very, very complex. I did not say I fully understand it, but one of the greatest ways that you can keep your blood clean or you keep it from being too thick or too thin is that sulfur pathway within the body. And so when you eat foods that are rich in sulfur, that would be eggs with the yolks. I do not understand on any level this trend to eat egg whites only. I do know why. It's because the cholesterol is in the yolk and everybody's terrified of cholesterol. Well, I got news for you, baby. You got to have cholesterol if you want to repair the body.
Yes.
So there is a supplement. It is called Oculotrophin PMG. Oculotrophin PMG. Oculotrophin. Oculotrophin and then PMG. That stands for protomorphogen glandular. It's made by a company called Standard Process. Out of all the things that I've used, that does the best at resolving floaters.
Oh,
it's
okay.
It's just a healing. It's a way to promote healing of the eye tissue. It's just very specific for the eyes. So, if a person,
and where can I get that?
Well, I use it frequently. No, you won't find it at the health food store. But it's made from the eye tissue of an animal. That really puts some people off. I don't have a problem at all with that. If you told me my Christmas present is a can of sardines, I would say, the best present of all time, I'll take it. By the way, there's a new book I saw on Amazon.com called The Sardine Solution, and I just found myself laughing when I saw that, and I thought, I would read it, but who else is going to read that book besides me? But sardines, they are the rare animal protein on Earth that contains very generous amounts of a substance called RNA. I know we don't have much time left, but I just want to float an idea your direction. Everybody else is listening. You've got to have ribonucleic acid to heal and repair the body. I could almost build a case just by looking at all the long-term research on ribonucleic acid. If you don't have it, you can't heal. You can't. You can't make repairs to the body.
Wow.
So sardines are a rich source of that, and I want to say maybe even some is in mackerel. But you know how I said that compound that's found in red wine called resveratrol?
Yes.
Some of it is found in blueberries, just not as much as red grapes or purple grapes or black grapes.
See, I love blueberries.
I'm not going to tell you to stop eating them.
I
mean, when they did studies on old rats to see if they could find any compound based from food or any living substance that could make them work themselves through the maze and solve the problem like a young teenage rat, there was only one thing that could do that, blueberries. Well, and spinach too. But then again, I mean, how many nutrients are found in blueberries and how many nutrients are found in spinach? It's probably 10,000 compounds. Mm-hmm. Might know one of them, vitamin C and resveratrol. There's two. But God has made everything so infinitely complex, we don't even know what's really in a leaf of spinach or in a blueberry. We know some things, but I think these are far more complex than what we realize. So going back to the idea of an eye floater, you want to make it easy for your body to reabsorb these gelatinous, gunky proteins that are building up, which you're not better off by having floaters build up in your eyes, are you?
No.
That's like saying, are you better off by having a cataract form? No, you're not. And so that substance called oculotrophin PMG, if you want to purchase some online, if you'll call me at my office and leave your phone number, I'll tell you exactly how to do that very simply and easily, where it can be shipped right to your house, if that helps you. Because, you know, this is a very good experiment. And, you know, the other thing that I don't want to do is, you know me well enough to know that I'm not trying to overpromise anything to you. I'm just trying to get to the crux of the matter.
Right.
And so, because it's with great pleasure, if your body heals and you turn this around, what are you going to say to yourself? You're going to say, oh, my goodness, thank you, Lord. Thank you for, and God has designed the body to heal, but sometimes my job is just removing obstacles to healing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so anything that I can do to promote healing where I don't hurt a person or, I mean, you don't want to have somebody inject a needle into your eye to try to dissolve the floaters.
No.
Okay.
No, I do
Well,
not.
That would be low on my list also. I think I'm pretty open-minded, and I'm not against any medical procedures to do that, but I think if we can get to the idea that we've got some foreign proteins building up in the eye and what we can do to get the body to heal that, then that's what I want to promote.
Yes.
Do you have my office number, or do you want it?
I've got it.
Okay.
I've actually talked to you before at your office.
All right. Well, if you will, just call me, and I'll tell you how to do that, and you can get it, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
And
then I'll
tell you what I would consider a more therapeutic amount to take, and we'll go from there, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for your phone call.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bless you.
Oh, bless you, too. Thanks. I appreciate that.
Bye-bye.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I thought you were finished. A little bit trigger-happy on the button there. Let me go back to an idea, because I only have just a few moments left in the program. Okay, we'll go ahead and take this phone call. Okay, you're going to have to make it fast. Go.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes,
No, don't apologize. You're fine.
I have got clogged arteries in my legs. They want to do surgery on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm on misinapril and metoprolol or something like
that.
Yeah,
metoprolol. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I am trying to keep from having surgery. I read an article that said that really the surgery doesn't do that much. It can come back. So I'm just trying to prevent surgery.
Well, what I want you to consider is there's a way to restore this and turn it all around, just like I told the first caller about the mineral zinc. If you do not have enough zinc, it's nearly impossible to clear the arteries of waste and debris and plaque and hardness. And so we want to create a situation to reverse that. So the idea of intermittent fasting is going to be golden to you. The idea of maybe a paleo or carnivore or ketogenic diet, that could be so good for you, it's just literally unbelievable. And unfortunately, we have run out of time, but please, would you call me the next time I'm on the radio so I can flesh this topic out and really try to help you?
I called 33 times.
Oh, my word. Well, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to devote the next program to telling you how to repair all this, okay? Okay, thank you for your call, ma'am. I love you.
Thank you. Love
Bye-bye.
You.
You're listening to KBJS, FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler Longview.